makes you forget half a day.
I do like this one.
Check your glucose levels.
It is not drinking. I mean, you can smell the alcohol on it, but it doesn't come across that hot.
I like the very subtle. I'm guessing it's from the port.
The wininess.
That sort of like wine character. It's subtle.
Yeah, I haven't tasted it yet. I'm just enjoying the nose of it. I mean, it's really interesting.
But then the
smells fruity.
But then, do you get any of the spiciness from the rye?
I'm not. I'm getting a lot of fruitiness. And
I'm mostly getting the fruitiness.
Incredibly light body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. For a, did you say it's a Schwarzbier?
Well, it's part Schwarzbier.
The 50%.
It's a dark lager.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
it's got some Schwarzbier.
Yeah, there's I would expect some more toastiness, roastiness to this, and not. It's not. It's like barely. You have to look for it.
It's like fruit and chocolate.
Yes, 100%.
How many other beers have you had like this, where it's half Schwarzbier and then 1/4 lager wine and 1/4
black lager? I didn't even know lager wine was a thing.
Nor did I. But after my third sip, I just kind of left it there for a second, and I swear to God, alcohol fumes came out of my mouth. That's fascinating.
It could have happened, yeah.
Yeah.
That totally could have happened.
It's big,
and it's so sticky.
Yeah. But it goes down easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's big, it's fruity, it's winey, it's...
It's weird because I got more of the roastiness off of the nose than the flavor of it at all.
Yeah. Right. It's not in the flavor. Yeah.
It almost reminds me of like a chocolate covered berry or something like that, because there's fruit, but it's all wrapped around, and like at the very end, there's that chocolate.
Yeah. Kind of.
Well, we'll be back in just a minute with more.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today's episode is a brewery takeover of Elder Pond Brewing and Blending in Gaithersburg, Maryland, that was brought to us by Reverend Mark,
dun, dun, dun.
A prodigal son who's come back for a visit. And the crowd is gone wild,
woo!
As they should be. So right before the break, we have been diving into some big beers here, and right before the break, we were talking about the double barrel through Woven Branches, which is a really, like we were talking about it during the break, that we have never had anything like this before.
God,
so,
Almighty, I'm not part of this.
Except that we are part of this. It is the most interesting blended beer I think I have ever had in my entire life. So 50% double oaked Schwarzbier. Okay.
Double oaked.
Right.
They don't single oak stuff, okay?
No. So, right, which is just crazy. And then 25% black lager, which hasn't been oaked. And then a double oaked lager wine. That's 25%. So that makes your 100% in case you're keeping up. And wow. I mean, just wow. So, Reverend Mark, what would you pair this beer with?
One thing that comes to me, at least I would see, a nice stacked Reuben. A marbled Reuben.
I think that's always a good answer for everything. Yeah. I like where your head's at. And now I want corned beef right now.
Yeah, I'd want some acid because there's right here is, and I mean, you know,
wait,
just
to go with the sandwich
within the sandwich itself, to have the kraut and just maybe a beet slaw or something. To kind of counteract a little of the sweet here. It's not overly sweet, but I think it still has a malt aspect to it that would just really go nice with some fatty and acidy.
Dude,
kinds of food.
I want that in my mouth.
I think Sparky just had a happy ending.
Just went to another place. I have to change my britches after this one, guys.
It takes a while to get the whole thing into your mouth.
Or not.
Or if you wanted to take it in the sweet direction with some kind of praline.
Nah, let's stick with the Reuben.
Yeah, I'm going with the Reuben myself.
I don't know, maybe like something fatty with like a cheesecake or something.
That's
like
exactly what I was thinking. I like the, with the chocolate and the berry.
Yeah.
Just give me a simple slice of plain cheesecake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sparky's going to need a moment.
Or two, right? Wow.
I was just thinking of my favorite Reubens. I was kind of going through the,
he's going through the list.
The reel in my head.
Do you have a favorite Reuben here in town, or do you travel for a good Reuben? Oh,
man. I don't think
we have anything.
Not really.
Here, right?
No. I mean, Bill's Sandwich Palace has done from time to time a solid Reuben, maybe Fat Belly Pretzel once or twice. You know, I was raised mostly in East Tennessee, and there's this great place called Sam and Andy's, which steams their sandwiches. There's this amazing story. Like, basically, there's this whole culture in Knoxville of steaming sandwiches, hoagies. It's an amazing history, how it all started. That was always just, to me, like a seminal Reuben. So good. To me, you just can't beat, like, Shapiro's up in Indy. You know, some great Jewish...
I knew that's the place you were going to say.
It's a good place.
Well, yeah. That's because it is a really
Cats,
good place.
Cats, or, you know, if you're up in Chicago... Nashville was always like half-assed to begin with here, and now it's a shadow of a shadow of a shadow.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss Nashville.
I know. Really? I used to take my team there to eat once a month. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
I used to go there in the morning after doing like a double shift. I'd go there, and even though like we would get there right before it was okay to serve alcohol, but because they knew us and we were regulars.
I mean, technically it's illegal right now, but you know, you guys seem okay.
I know. So like we would walk in, we would go to our favorite table, which was like the one in the, like you go all the way in. No, in the back. And as soon as we would sit down, like granted, the only beer available at the time would be Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale. A round of that, and that would get us started.
You know, so Robert Plant used to go there all the time.
Did he really?
Yeah, like there was a period of time, I guess, where he was recording here. He was there like constantly. I had some friends in the days before Instagram and stuff like that.
The house your friends used to own, that's the house he rented in Green Hills for a while. Yeah,
whoa.
That's
where
Yes. The year that he recorded with
Alison Krauss.
Yeah.
Raising Sand.
Yeah,
nice.
Because he was in France doing a fellowship. And so he took the whole family with him, and he rented his house, which was like very like, how crazy is that?
That's crazy.
And then it comes to find out he didn't realize until afterwards when he came home
that Robert Plant has been living in his household.
Because there was a sand shark in the bathtub.
I was gonna say like thank God it was like older, more mature Robert Plant and not Zeppelin at the, you know.
But there was a lovely note and some things left for, and he just was like,
yeah, rock and roll written across the wall and poop, you know.
I just threw
my couches out of the window. Why?
But how freaking cool was that? I'm just
TV saying. Was in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. So,
sorry.
What are we going to rate the double barrel through woven branches?
I
think you got to go.
Yes. I think we got to go 5-2. Okay. So, we do have time for a final offering, the little bonus beer. And it's called...
Whoa.
Yep.
What? Oh, what? What's happening? What is it? What are we doing?
What? Are you okay?
No, it's just... Wow. I wasn't
expecting
that.
This is called... Empyrematic, and forgive me if I'm not saying it correct. This one is neat, okay? I'm going to say this one is really neat. This one is 5.5% ABV. It is a smoked Helles lager.
Okay.
With Lapsang Souchong tea.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pine wood smoked black tea.
So beechwood smoked barley, oak smoked wheat with Saz hops.
I like this.
I got a nice...
I agree with Mike.
Yeah. I just on the nose, I was like, before I knew what this was, it's like menthol? What? No.
Pinewood smoked tea.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. That is something else. That's wild.
I like it.
I love it.
I do too.
I want barbecue to have with this right now.
Yep.
Sure.
Or wood-fired pizza.
The smokiness is well-balanced. It's not overwhelming.
It's not, right?
Mm-hmm. No, but it is a very complex and lovely smoking.
It is. It's a nice smoke.
That's like not some one note.
There's some layers there.
This is very not normal.
Yeah. No, but in the winter, I could see drinking this all the time. Like, mm-hmm. and kudos to the head brewer that this is his favorite. I commend him, and I'm with him, and I'm wondering if he's got any Eastern European roots, because this, to me, would be something that
this is
the
wild.
Family would be drinking.
And he mentioned that there's just, in his mind, and me too, I agree with him, that there's just not enough of the smoked beers that are just available on the market. I mean, they're there, but you have to really look.
It's only because not too many people are going to try to brew a Rausch beer. Yeah.
You got to go to Texas, Pennsylvania, or New York State.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, Maryland.
Right.
For that, so.
Well, I mean, because Maryland is just,
sometimes Nashville.
It's an elbow to Pennsylvania and that.
There you go.
I enjoy the Rausch.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of it. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And any kind of like grilled meats. Yeah. This is a 5.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. This is a 5. Well, that is going to do it for today. Reverend Mark, thank you so much for bringing these beers. This was like such a great treat.
You're awesome.
I'm already planning my next trip.
Yes.
There we go.
That you should. Great.
The All Natty Bo Show.
And I'm smiling. Yes, and I'm smiling. Okay. Good old boy Kendall, thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And enjoying us with that great celebration fresh hop beer.
That's best time of the year.
Isn't it, though? Mm. Reverend Mark, thank you so much for bringing this beer and coming along and sharing some time with us.
The holidays would not be the same.
Good old boy Sparky, thanks so much for being here.
It was my pleasure.
Oh, you did that so well. Good old boy Dave.
Kendall, use my time to tell me about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
You gonna say goodbye?
No, he used my time.
Okay, fine. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. Looking out at the ocean, we might just see a chaos of waves and troughs. But, like an expert angler, a tern can read the surface of the water to find where to catch its next fish. Researchers studying the feeding habits of terns piloted a drone to learn how the birds zero in on good fishing spots. By flying the drone at an altitude of 100 meters, well above the feeding terns, the scientists got a detailed look at the birds' flight paths without disturbing them from the hunt. The flight paths showed that the terns seek out turbulent water. They tend to dive for fish where colliding currents form a vortex. The swirling water traps small fish near the surface, the perfect place for terns to snatch them up. When the terns spot new bubbly upwellings at a distance, they fly to them, as the rising currents can bring other prey animals along for the ride. Using drones to observe airborne birds from a safe distance is helping reveal how they see the world. For the terns, the water's surface isn't just nice to look at. It's a map to their next meal. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. The internet holds vast amounts of trustworthy information on many issues, but also huge volumes of false and misleading content, especially about climate change.
Right now, we are seeing a lot of mis and disinformation about climate solutions, electric vehicles, renewable energy.
Climate scientist Emmanuel Vincent is the founder of Science Feedback. The group includes a network of scientists who review some of the climate-related stories and myths spreading online, such as the false claim that wind turbines do not work in the cold. In fact, they do operate in low temperatures and have systems to prevent ice buildup.
So we have about 500 scientists to help us verify when there is a prominent claim, whether it is true or false, whether it is based on sound science and in agreement with the data. We also go and read the scientific literature.
They summarize their findings in free articles at science.feedback.org. The resources are written for a general audience and include links to other studies and resources that provide more in-depth information. So the initiative provides reliable information about climate change and climate solutions, helping people separate fact from fiction. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Celebrating Vancouver's underground rock music culture for 3 days of shows from incredible local and touring artists, the second annual Unreal City Festival takes over the Rickshaw Theater and the Russian Hall, January 15th to 17th. Featuring local artists like Worry War, Jody Glenham, so let it keep raining. CJSF chart toppers Devour, and the Houseplant. Veterans Buy a Thread. And headliner Spencer Krug of Wolf Parade, Sunset Rubdown, and Moonface. This unique festival finds bands and music artists upstairs, while downstairs you get access to the coziest grandma's living room style lounge in the city, with DJs, hot food, drinks, on-site tattoo artists, and more. The second annual Unreal City Festival, January 15th to 17th at the Rickshaw Theater and the Russian Hall in East Vancouver. For passes, go to unrealcity.rocks or head to CJSF Music on Instagram to win tickets.
Thank you.